Today is Thursday, February 21st. We're talking about the first-of-its-kind meeting at the Vatican today, a Coast Guard lieutenant turned terror suspect, and an update in the case of actor Jussie Smollett, plus the fastest-growing high-paying job and a Game of Thrones good cause. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview. Today's guest takes us behind the scenes of social media for the Oscars. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. It's being called unprecedented. The first ever Vatican summit on child sex abuse starts today. The BBC says it could be a defining moment for Pope Francis. He'll host the four-day meeting in the Vatican. Nearly 200 bishops from more than 100 countries will be there. ABC News reports the goal is to make sure all bishops know the church's rules and procedures when it comes to sexual abuse complaints. And the meeting's themes are responsibility, accountability, and transparency. Of course, this comes as thousands of cases of kids being sexually abused have come to light over decades. A U.S. Coast Guard lieutenant is accused of planning a mass terrorist attack, and today he'll be in court. CBS News reports Christopher Hassan allegedly had a hit list of well-known journalists and Democratic politicians and wanted to go after everyday people as well. He's a self-described white nationalist, and authorities are calling him a domestic terrorist. Police say he stockpiled weapons and ammunition for a planned attack, but of course, they have stopped him and arrested him last week. By the way, the Southern Poverty Law Center tracks white supremacists and extremist groups, and unfortunately, its newest report this week found the number of hate groups are on the rise. 2018 was the fourth year in a row to see an increase and saw an all-time high. An Alabama woman joined ISIS, but now says she wants to come back to the U.S. Hoda Muthana spoke with The Guardian, saying she was brainwashed and deeply regrets leaving the U.S. in 2014 to marry an Islamic State fighter in Syria. But President Trump says do not allow her back in the country. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo also said she's not a U.S. citizen and has no legal standing to return. Her lawyer, though, disagrees, saying she was born in the U.S. and can prove it, which means she would be a citizen. But it's pretty complicated because the woman's father was a foreign diplomat, which means it may not matter that she was born here. Right now, she's in a Syrian refugee camp with her son. The U.S. Supreme Court justices all agreed on something this week with a unanimous vote. The Eighth Amendment limits how much personal property the federal government can take from suspects after a crime. Well, now the Supreme Court made it clear the same rule applies to states, basically banning police from seizing excessive amounts of cash, cars, and homes after a crime. The ruling was over a case from Indiana. The Washington Post reports the court sided with a man who pleaded guilty to selling about $200 of heroin, yet police seized his $42,000 Land Rover, arguing it was used to commit the crime. The Supreme Court says that's excessive and not allowed. Travel has been a mess around the country because of that widespread winter storm this week. But for most spots, today should be the last day of major issues. Still, the storm hit the Midwest and the East Coast hard yesterday, forcing schools and some offices to close. CBS News says 2,000 flights were canceled and more than 3,000 were delayed. And Minnesota set a record yesterday. The state officially is having the snowiest February ever. Pinterest has taken a big step to stop the spread of false health information. The Wall Street Journal reports the social network blocked all vaccination-related search results, whether it's for or against vaccines. Pinterest says most of the vaccination images shared on the site say vaccines are not safe, even though medical research shows they are. So Pinterest started to remove all vaccination content to stop the spread of misinformation. CNBC says this could pressure other social media sites to do something similar. Facebook has now said it's considering making those changes as well. Much more news ahead, but a quick break for today's sponsor, FabFitFun. It is time to sign up if you haven't already, or sign up the woman in your life who you think will love it. They will thank you. FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. And I love that everything is full size and high quality. And by the way, it feels like your birthday four times a year when it shows up at the door each season. I'm always so excited when it arrives. And right now, the spring box is here. It is available and it's epic. I'm already using my Sip by Swell water bottle, the Key sunglasses, and Venus Williams brand of Jump Rope because FabFitFun has it all, from skincare to fitness to fashion. It retails for $49.99, but with every box, you're actually getting a value of more than $200. And you can use the coupon code NEWS for $10 off your first box. Just go to FabFitFun.com and use the code NEWS, N-E-W-S, for $10 off your first box. Each season's box does sell out, so don't wait. Go to FabFitFun.com and use the code NEWS. Now, back to the news. Samsung's first foldable smartphone is here, and it's called the Galaxy Fold. It seems to be getting the most attention from Samsung's big event yesterday. The Verge reports the new phone unfolds into a tablet-sized screen, opening like a book. But it's not cheap. The Galaxy Fold is selling for nearly $2,000. It'll be available April 26th. And if you're curious to see what it looks like, I posted a little video to my Instagram feed at Erica Mandy News. Also at the event, Samsung revealed a bunch of other tech, including four new models of the Galaxy S10. One includes 5G capabilities. There are also new wireless headphones called the Galaxy Buds and a new smartwatch that Engadget says is focused on fitness. It's the fastest growing six-figure job in America, and it's app developer. You know, the people who develop, build, and update apps for computers and smartphones? Well, Money Magazine reports app developers will see more openings over the next several years than any other high-paying job with an average salary of at least $100,000 a year. That said, it's not the fastest-growing job on the market. People are having some issues with Nike's new smart sneaker, and they were just released last week. Users say only one shoe will tie. The Nike Adapt BB sneaker is controlled and tightened by an app that apparently is having issues. And The Verge says the problem is likely software related, but Nike has not responded just yet. Southwest Airlines is not having a great week. The airline had to cancel hundreds of flights since last week because of mechanical issues. CNN reports Tuesday, for example, saw twice the number of planes affected than a typical day. And on top of that, CNBC reports the airline cut its revenue predictions this week, blaming the partial government shutdown for costing the company $60 million in revenue. Actor Jussie Smollett is officially charged with a felony, disorderly conduct to be exact, for allegedly filing a false police report, and he's expected in court today. Remember, the actor from the Fox show Empire said he was attacked in Chicago back in January. Police originally said it was a hate crime, but now they believe he lied about the attack. Smollett and his lawyer have insisted the attack really happened. HBO is partnering with the American Red Cross for a Game of Thrones-themed blood drive. Why? Winter arrived. CNN says the Red Cross had to cancel more than 350 blood drives during the polar vortex. The incredibly cold temperatures caused the organization to miss out on more than 11,000 blood donations. So the partnership, called #BleedForTheThrone, will have blood drives in 43 states and 9 colleges. And it all starts next month. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. This week, our guest is taking us behind the scenes of what it takes to plan and run social media for one of the world's largest entertainment events, the Oscars, which, by the way, are coming up this Sunday. Erin Gargan-King is a best-selling author and digital persuasion expert. She's developed effective social media strategies for clients ranging from the Academy Awards, which we are talking about today, to the U.S. Navy. So here's my conversation with Erin Gargan-King. Hi, Erin. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Hi, Erica. Thanks for having me.
So first, can you describe a little bit about what you've done working with the Oscars? And where do you even begin when you're thinking about managing the online conversation, the social media, for such a huge event?
Well, managing the Oscars was a very exciting opportunity that we were thankful to have. And I think the biggest thing we had to tackle first was not even the strategy itself of managing those millions of conversations, but really the first thing we had to figure out was how to manage all the big players that go into even producing an event like the Oscars. So we were in meetings with AEG Entertainment. You have ABC Disney, which is producing the entertainment side. You have AMPIS, which is the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences. Obviously, they are managing the actual award itself. And then you have sponsors, big companies like Samsung, who has sponsored the Oscars in recent years and pulled off the fantastic Ellen selfie that was the most retweeted celebrity selfie of all time with Bradley Cooper and Brad Pitt and Julia Roberts and everyone. So I think the first thing we had to figure out was kind of the relationship management, and then we had to go from there and tackle the strategy.
How far in advance do you have to start?
Well, for the Oscars, it's one of those events where the minute it's over, you start planning for the next year almost right away. So we were working on this for about 10 months leading up to the event. And some of the questions that we were asking ourselves were, you know, who watches this event and why? You have your movie buffs, you know, you have your fashion enthusiasts, and you have people that just love celebrities. So you're trying to figure out how to bring together a conversation online that can really engage and really draw in all different types of viewing.
And I think I saw somewhere that it's 15 million social media conversations about hashtag Oscars. So what are you and your team doing to manage millions of conversation online during the actual event?
We do it manually. No, we don't do it manually. We do divide and conquer. So I developed a strategy where I took my team and I divided us into actually three groups. So we had the push team, the pull team, and the watch team. So the push team was creating conversations and content in advance of the Oscars. So when you have all these different awards, you know who the nominees are for each category. So we could create some pretty cool pieces of content around each of the nominees. And then as soon as someone would actually win, that push team was ready for that big 10 to 15 minute spike of searches and conversations and hashtags around that particular celebrity or movie. So that was kind of our push team. Then we had our pull team. Now our pull team was actually on site, ground zero, red carpet. They're pulling moments that aren't being seen on camera. So moments from the red carpet that maybe didn't make it to some of the pre-show features. We had people that were working backstage with the Oscars Backstage Pass app, where we were capturing unscripted conversations with some of the world's biggest stars. So pulling kind of those moments from the audience, things people could not access by just watching the broadcast and kind of bringing that extra value was our pull team. And then we had the most important team, which was the watch team. So the watch team was basically monitoring all the conversations that were happening and trying to stay in front of trends. So things like hashtag Oscars so white. You know, obviously we couldn't have predicted the wrong envelope that was given the other year, but trying to find moments where we could jump into what was already being talked about rather than trying to start our own conversation first, if that makes sense.
So we have to talk about that wrong envelope for a second, because it's the infamous wrong envelope incident where they said the wrong winner for Best Picture. It was in 2017. That must have caused so much chaos and conversation online. How do you stay up with something so unexpected and, you know, not necessarily the best thing for the Oscars? Or is it? Because any PR is good. I don't know.
Whenever you're preparing a communication strategy for an event, whether it's a trade show, a conference, a 5K, or one of the largest entertainment events in the world, you're always trying to think in advance of what could possibly go wrong, right? So you're brainstorming, you know, wardrobe malfunctions, you're brainstorming awkward religious or political movements. You're trying to figure out all the things that you can possibly get out in front of and think of a potential response. You know, the team running social for the Oscars in that particular instance, they couldn't have prepared for the reactions and the responses that flooded social media. So you saw a number of reactions coming from those accounts. If I had been in charge that year, I would have absolutely taken a peek at who are the leaders in these conversations. Some of the GIFs and the memes that were coming out of that moment were absolutely hysterical. And sometimes when you make a mistake like that, there really is no way to save face other than just apologizing it, owning it, and kind of humbling yourself enough to make light of what was a huge error on the Oscars' part.
Do you think any TV show that is not thinking about getting people to use hashtags while they're watching is kind of behind the times?
We have so many options now with, you know, Netflix and Hulu and the battle for streaming entertainment. And what's funny is that, I don't know about you, but I discover all of the shows that I like to watch from social. So there's really this kind of inversion of the traditional entertainment paradigm, where it used to be you'd watch TV to see a commercial for a show, you would then watch the show, and then you would discuss it with your friends. Well, now with social, that paradigm's kind of inverted, you know, where it really starts with friends sharing shows with friends and then kind of working backwards from there.
All right. So this Sunday is the Oscars. Are you going to be watching, and do you watch differently now that you've had the experience of behind the scenes?
But yeah, it was incredible. I'll definitely be watching. I would say one of my favorite things to do is just to see how the internet reacts to every moment, because what we're all looking for is we want those unpolished moments, right? We want the wrong envelope. We want, you know, the awkward exchange. That's kind of what we really watch for, I think, more so than who won Best Picture. So I will definitely be watching, and I hope that for their sake that it's frictionless, but for our sake as social media viewers, I hope there's at least one good scandal that occurs.
And you can learn more about today's great guest and all the news we talked about today on thenewsworthy.com. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and look for today's date. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, The Newsworthy is ready for you by 4 in the morning Eastern Time every weekday. So we will chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.